I got a green button on here, green light. Ours turns red. I told them, no, red means go at our church. Green means trust, means go tonight. But ours is a red light. We got a green light tonight. I think that means go. So here we go. Appreciate the Lord and his faithfulness. I'm glad that we have a God that we can trust in, serve, and be delighted in, take great pleasure in him. 2007, the spring of the year, I know I was here since that, but I was preaching revival that spring, and particularly I remember because that night as I left to come down here, my beautiful bride now, not then, and I had fleeced the Lord, and I had asked her, and I don't know if you recall it or not, but I certainly recall it and will not forget it. I had asked the Lord, I said, God, if she comes along with me tonight to church, then I know. Then I know. Not that I didn't know then, but I'm a man and I was cold and feet and stuff like that there, and I wanted to know. I wanted to know. This wasn't, you know, something that I was messing around with. I was pastoring a church. I had a big responsibility. I wanted somebody that was going to be true to me, somebody that was going to be true to the Lord, somebody that had a call upon her life as well as me. And I remember her calling me or texting me. I don't quite remember that in detail, but I remember her coming along. And I don't remember anything else about that revival, but I remembered in that revival that God had provided for me a mate. And I was so thankful for God's faithfulness to my life. And he certainly has been down through the years. It is a joy for me able to be here tonight. You dear precious people, I pray for a whole lot. And I am so thankful for the friendships that we have among this church. And Brother Roger and his leadership in my life is now being the bishop and overseer of our conference. And truly it is a great privilege for me to be able to be with you in revival and share what the Lord has led. I was thinking about this here. You know, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God had heard their murmurings and he provided for them manna from heaven. But that manna was only good for the day. But then came the day before the Sabbath and he said, there you can collect two times as much. But other than that, it's going to spoil. And that's how it's always been in my ministry. I would like if God would just line up all the sermons for me in a revival that I had peace of mind and I didn't need to agonize over the word anymore. And I just had that confidence stepping into a revival. But God has never worked like that for me. Now, today's Sunday. The Lord knew that. He gave me two messages today. He gave me some thoughts for the rest of the revival that I'm here, but I know tomorrow the manna will come, but today the manna's not here for tomorrow. But tomorrow, the manna's going to come for tomorrow. And that's how it's going to be through this week. So I'm begging in you, with you, will you pray? Will you pray that God gives us a word each and every night that we gather together? Appreciate the word the Lord has given me tonight as we gather together. I'd invite you to take in your Bibles, turn to the book of John, the fourth chapter. I appreciate the representation that is here from Stony Run Mission. I'm not going to tell the preacher where you're at tonight. I am thankful. I am truly thankful and delighted to be able to have some of our church family here tonight. It means so much to the preacher. And I'm thankful that you made a choice to be in the house of the Lord tonight. God is so faithful to us. You know, there was a guy talking to me this week at our church cleanup, and he said, you know, Nick, he said, it's the least I can do. You think about all that God has done for us. It is the least I can do. And you know, for no other reason, this is the least we can do, gathering the Lord's house for him. It's not a burden. It's not a task. It's a blessing that we can gather in his house tonight to worship our dear Lord and Savior. John chapter 4, and I know some of you were already on board and this stammering preacher's got to get there. Will you stand with me tonight? Will you stand with me tonight as we read God's word? This is familiar, I know. I know you've probably heard Roger and others preach on it. I certainly have preached on it. But we're looking at the woman at the well. This account is so special. I want to begin reading in verse number 3 of that chapter, John chapter 4. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and the word says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. It had been there some 1,000 years before, and it's still there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. If Jewish time was observed here, it's about noon. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. I love to see his humanity here. I love to see that our glorious Savior sent his only begotten Son, and yet we see his humanity. Oh, I'm so thankful that he was man. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that he was God. And I'm glad that he was willing at all points to be tested, to be tried, to understand where we're at. Oh, what a Savior. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask me drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Let your mind's heart get a hold of that tonight. I am so thankful for the deep well of Jesus Christ, from whence thou hast thou living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. I can visualize in my mind as they're there gathered up again the water. I don't know if he made sight to it. I don't know if his hand gesture pointed to it or not, but he's talking about the physical well. And he said, whosoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but that water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Oh, thanks be to God for a deep well that never runs dry. One that we can tap in, a resource of all resources, unlimited to meet each and every need according to his riches and glory. I am so thankful, praise God, for a well that God has provided through Christ Jesus, his Son, that whosoever believes, whosoever calls on him can be saved, and of that water shall never thirst again. Will you join me in prayer? Father, tonight, as we gather together in these heavenly places, we thank you, Lord, for the songs, the anthems of our heart that have been sung out tonight. God, you are so faithful. And Lord, it is our cry. It is our desire that others would see Jesus Christ truly living out through our lives. Lord, tonight, we are blessed. We are blessed above all measure. Lord, tonight, you have poured heaven down upon us. Undeserving we are. And you have been so good to our lives. The shoes on our feet, the clothes on our back, the roofs above our head, a tabernacle to be gathered in tonight, a holy Bible in our possessions. Lord, tonight you have been so good to our lives, and you showered upon us so many times, but yet in seasons of our lives, maybe even this evening hour, we gather in like the hymn that we sung earlier this evening, and there are in times of the areas of our lives, we need a refreshing, we need an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, we need a shakening, we need a stirring deep inside the fibers and cords of our soul. We need something to ignite, to reflame what has one time burned for you. Oh God, tonight your living church, that giant, hallelujah, has gone to sleep and needs awakened again. And God, like never before in these days in which we live, oh God, may a revival come, maybe in a small country church like this, but God, send a revival, send an awakening to our hearts and our lives, one that can't be quieted, one that can't be shut up, one that can't be out and very quickly, a God that would be contagious like a wildfire that no fire company can put out. Oh God, we need revival. I need revival. Would you stir us again? Lord, according to your word tonight, may it fall upon the lodgments of our heart. Your word is alive and well, and it needs answer to. And so therefore, I pray tonight you would give us a good response to your word tonight. Help us to not just be hearers, but hearers and then doers of your word. We need you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The late Adrian Rogers, I steal a title from him. I imagine that I probably read through a sermon that he had titled this here, but I stole the title from him. And I don't know, maybe by coincidence, maybe just by just taking a guess tonight, this was the very passage of scripture he used. I don't even recall. But I remember the late Adrian Rogers titled one of his messages, Responsibility. And really the theme of the message was really the context is what I want to share tonight. And really what he was meaning by that is, what is your response to his ability? As a child of God, as a believer, one that is trusted in Lord as Savior and God and ruler over your life, one that leads you each and every day so faithfully, what is your response to His ability? We already talked about a well that is so very deep and so unlimited in everything for our lives and what we have need of, not what we want, not what we think our needs are, but really, truly what our needs are. God is able to meet each and every one. God, I say it so many times, the church probably gets tired of me hearing it, but it's really the testimony of what I see and what I observe in this relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is He is enough. He's enough. He satisfies. He ministers. He is enough for our lives. How many things can you gather and glean in this world that are just not enough? But hallelujah, He is enough tonight. What's our response to His abilities tonight, church? Oh, I think that it's a safe evaluation, and I don't have all the answers tonight, but I do think that it's what we want to stare at tonight is really so oftentimes what restricts and hinders causes us that roadblock in our response to His abilities. And as long as you're human, as long as you want to get honest in a revival service, and I think it's a good service to get honest with the Lord about, there's usually times and seasons in our lives that we need revisited. God needs to do a work. God needs to minister in the depths of our hearts. I know I'm getting older, and I'm maybe not as old as some, but I do remember true revival. Matter of fact, we just had some real good true revival at Stony Run. I mean, when lives are rededicated and recommitted to the Lord and even salvation, you know, that's always one of the good signs about true revival. And I know revival's for the believer and revival's to stir us up and to pull us closer to the Lord. But it's an amazing thing. It's almost a telltale sign of God being true in revival because it's always seemingly evident that there's salvation as well. It can't help but get on somebody's heart and somebody's life that needs a relationship with Jesus Christ. God has a way of doing that. And He's so good at it. He's so good at it. It's amazing the influence we have when our hearts and our lives are in tune with God. It is amazing the difference it makes in those lives that live around us. It's amazing when our heart's not right with God, the difference and the influence it makes on those that are around us, husbands and wives, moms and dads, children. You know what I'm talking about tonight. Those inside your house, those people you live with, those people that see you through and through. We know and understand. There's three things I want us to notice in this passage of Scripture with this woman that Jesus met by the well, and that is one. Number one is the Bible says, whosoever, Jesus gives invitation, whosoever drinketh, hallelujah. I'm thankful tonight, praise His holy name, that it is whosoever, and we know that tonight, that is Jesus' invitation for all of mankind. That is a redemption plan that is laid out. He didn't say it's just for this sect of people. He didn't say it's just for this nationality. It's just for this church people and this sect of church or this area of believers or non-believers rather, but He said whosoever. It was all of mankind. Franklin Graham said Jesus Christ came on a rescue mission. Hallelujah. To rescue all of mankind. Whosoever will drink of this water. I love the invitation here tonight. I love it that we know it in the depths of our heart. We know it in the reality as believers, but sometimes we forget it and we think in conversation to maybe those hardened people, those people that are just, I'm telling you, they're foul in conversation and you think, I don't know. I don't know. Is it doubt inside of me? Is it unbelief? I just don't know if God can reach into their lives. I'm telling you, if that heart will be awakened by the welling of the Holy Spirit and call upon His precious name in a contrite and broken way. The Bible said, whosoever, praise God, will call on Him can be saved. Oh, I'm thankful that it's not just for the church. I'm thankful for that it's a wayward, and I'm thankful tonight it's for the unbeliever, whosoever drinketh. And then two, the second thing to notice is tonight, in Him. He says, in Him. It makes all the difference. It's not in me tonight. It's not in us tonight. It is in him tonight. That's where it needs to be. I know it's elementary tonight. I know it's so fundamental tonight and foundational, but that's where it absolutely needs to be in our life, in the decisions we make, in the perspectives we have, in the way we look at our difficulties and our problems. Oh, God, help me. I'm preaching to myself tonight. In the areas of our unbelief, in the way we view our circumstances, when all hell seems to crash in around us and those mountaintops crumble down. You know what I'm talking about? When the pressures move in, our perspective always needs to be a reality of our faith. We need to revisit this more often. I need to revisit this more often in him. I'm not leaning on myself, even though I am at times more than I ought to be, but in him. In him tonight, praise God, the church, leaning on him, in him tonight. And then the third thing to observe in this passage of scripture that we read tonight that I really want to stare at tonight is there's a water of this everlasting spring. There's a water springing up. It's salvation. There's a water that is springing up. It is the Holy Spirit that has taken residence in the believer. It is springing up inside of us to everlasting life. I'm thankful tonight for that. I'm not just preaching about a feeling tonight. I don't want to do that there because we're led so very wrong sometimes in our feelings. Because I'm telling you, there's times when my feelings are fighting me deep within inside. And if you're honest tonight, sometimes yours are too. But I'm talking about a reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ that when he comes in and takes residence there. And that's what happens at the point of salvation and a conversion. God, the Holy Spirit comes in. Hallelujah. And he resides in me. Who am I that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I that a king should take residence inside of my life? But I am thankful tonight that I am able to be led of the Spirit and not of the flesh, because Jesus takes residence inside of us. And I'm thankful that there's a Holy Spirit that brings leadership in our hearts and our lives. Look at this evening. In this account where Jesus says so clearly his heart, I must needs go through Samaria. And I'm not preaching to you anything new tonight, and if I was, it would probably be wrong anyhow. But it's just information you've heard many, many times. But it's the living word of God. And it reveals itself to us so precious and so sweet. Jesus is there at that well, meeting with this woman and wanting to offer her a water, a relationship, a spirit, a well, salvation that never runs dry. It amazes me, and it continually amazes me, how God loves us in such a fashion, in such a divine, supernatural way, that he's always wanting to get into our hearts and our lives. It amazes me how God always sets himself up in people's hearts and lives in such a way that we don't see. The woman at the well was there for a physical need, right? She had a thirsting need, her family. She was probably there with water pots and stuff to provide for her family in such an order that she was there. And Jesus sets himself up in such a way that she would think she's looking at her need being physical water. But Jesus, he still wonderfully, divinely, supernaturally sets himself up in her life, that not only now did she see that physical need, but now she was really seeing her spiritual need. She was seeing what she really had need of. God does that in our lives. God does that in my life continually, over and over again. There's things that I think I need. There's areas that I think I need it worked out this way or that way. And God has a way of setting himself up that all I need to do is recognize God in all of it. God did it to me in 1993 when I thought I needed a well that was going to run dry. You see, I didn't think it ran dry, but I had tapped into it and I realized it does run dry. It doesn't satisfy. It does temporarily. It does for a season, but there's a short term to it. But God, in his infinite mercy and his graciousness, in 1 John says, I love him because he first, hallelujah, loved me. He set up in my life in an automobile accident. You see, I thought I had a need of fitting in this world we live in, but God had a greater need for me to recognize. It caused an automobile accident that I would see my greatest need. That need was a relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, I needed saved from the pits of hell. I needed saved knowing I had peace, that if something happened to me like it had terrifically happened to me, that I wasn't going to a place I didn't want to go to. God has a way of getting into our lives so that we see our greatest need, and it is in Him. It's an amazing thing. There may be some here that are sitting tonight and you're wondering, I wonder if that's what God is really doing tonight in my life. I wonder if that's why the sequence of these events that I've been dealing with and these things that I have not been able to understand are happening deep inside of me, deep inside of my ways. And I don't understand. I didn't ask for them. I didn't sign up for them. But God has a way of us seeing our deepest, greatest, desperate need, and that is Jesus Christ. This is exactly what he was doing to the woman of Samaria. This is exactly what he was doing to Saul of Tarsus of old. He got in his way, and Saul had to recognize, and God allowed him to open up his eyes and see his greatest need was Jesus Christ in him. Oh, if the church, you don't need amen me tonight, but be a good opportunity, if the church got a hold of this, and we really seen our greatest need was Jesus Christ, it would produce something twofold. It would not only do something inside of you. You're no longer status quo. When this happens to you, you might be quiet and timid like I was at one day. I know you don't believe me tonight. But you can't be tight-lipped about it. When you recognize your greatest need is met in Jesus Christ, then you also recognize, not only here, but right here, that others that have needs can be met in Jesus Christ. And you're on a mission. You become an evangelist. Maybe in your small corner of the world, maybe in your small area that you live in, maybe in your small home, but you become an evangelist and you cannot be quieted about it, because when that need is met, hallelujah, it makes a difference in our hearts and our lives. And Jesus was there to meet this woman's need. I'm thankful that Jesus came by my way to meet my need. Who am I that he would visit me? The psalmist said that God would be mindful enough to visit mankind. Oh, how wonderful it is. Jesus met this woman there. We see through the account of Scripture that God transformed her life. She may not understand it fully, and I don't understand it fully, but I know that God, through his Holy Spirit and personal relationship with Jesus, has made residence in my heart and my life. And I'm so appreciative of what God has done in my life. I'm so appreciative that our sins can be washed away. I'm so thankful for the victory that we can have and possess in our hearts and our lives, that when we meet another brother like Pete was testifying earlier, why, it refreshes us to hear those stories. It refreshes us to see the ministry of somebody's faithfulness in the Lord. You know why? You know what happens? You can't only fake that for so long. You can only put on a show for so long. And I want to tell you, somebody that has divinely had that need met in the Lord Jesus Christ will weather the storms. Yeah, the storms will come. God will be faithful. You'll realize that that need that has been met initially will continually be met in Jesus Christ. I don't care what age you are tonight, from the oldest to the youngest, that need can be met in Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. There's a transformation that happens. His spirit inside of us, that well of living water springing up, that salvation. Listen to me, beloved, tonight. There's not an MRI that's going to detect it. There's not a CAT scan that's available to look into the valves of it. There's not an autopsy that will come back and say, well, inside of him was a well, inside of her was a well. There's nothing to detect it, but I'm telling you tonight, in the reality of the testimony of my faith, and I know you're a witness tonight as well, there's a well, hallelujah. And it's springing up into everlasting life. I am so thankful for the well that springs up. Listen, it is not always overflowing, but I'm glad for the times that it does overflow. It might be headed down the road, and sometimes I got my CDs on, and all of a sudden Downing Lane will come on singing, "All my hope is in Jesus." Hallelujah. There's something that triggers a priming mechanism inside the well, and all of a sudden the well begins to bubble over. Hallelujah. And I'm not the best singer, but I like the word, so all my hope is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm going down the road and there's a CD comes on that I got. Adeline Vance sings, my God is my resting place. Hallelujah. It is simple, but it is real. I found rest in Jesus Christ. He satisfies. Praise his holy name. Sometimes I'm going down the road. My wife sang that song tonight and we have been blessed. The Lord has been good to us. And Chosen Road will start singing that song on there. And I've been blessed. And there's a multitude of scenes goes through my mind and my heart. I'm thinking about the shoes on my feet, the clothes on my back. I'm thinking about the house the Lord has given me to live in. I'm thinking about my church and my church family. I'm thinking about this wonderful relationship that God has given to me. Listen, he saved me from the pits of sin. He delivered my heart and my life. I'm so glad. I wouldn't be married tonight. Who would I be praying to for a fleece about my wife at a revival service if God hadn't been faithful? There's something that springs up inside of us. And I'm so thankful for that everlasting well. Sometimes it's in church and they're singing. Hey, sometimes it's when the preacher's preaching and the well begins to flow over. Sometimes it's in the middle of a forest and I'm hunting and it begins to flow over. But I'm telling you, one of the greatest places for me is when I'm buried in my study and all around is silence and I've insulated my study and I don't hear all the distractions quite as easily. Because in the Smith house, there's a few distractions occasionally. And I'm sitting there and I'm plowing through the word and I'm pleading with God to open up what I feel like is the smallest book I've ever looked at. And I'm asking God for direction and I'm agonizing over his word and his precious promises, and his spirit comes in and it reveals to me how good and how great and how wonderful he is. I'm telling you, there's something that happens inside the well. It's wonderful. It is wonderful. And I'm so thankful tonight for that. Listen, today, let me get a little grim with you. Because what I just described to you is not the majority of the church. It's not. I can't speak for you tonight, beloved, but I can tell you that it's not the majority of the church. I can tell you that in the church, in his church, there's anger. There's even some roots of bitterness that found its way into the bride of Christ. Why there's some people that are walking out of church to not come back. Do you know that there is an alarming rate of Christian homes and marriages failing? That's reality. There's lives that are not satisfied and powerless, not at all confident in this magnificent everlasting God, in whom I'm talking about tonight. There's an amazing amount of young people that are not attracted to what we're professing is the greatest relationship. Why is it? It absolutely rips me. In that, that's, I'm glad I don't need to translate all my Dutch. I'm among company tonight. I go to some areas and they have no idea what I am saying. You know, I'm talking about a deep, deep burden I have. A deep burden about these very real issues and even multitudes more. When it oughtn't to be so. I mean, I'm bearing more and more and more people that have ended the journey of faith here and have opened their eyes over there in glory. And I look back over their lives and I see such a steadfastness, such a joy in the Lord, such a hope of Calvary and a reality of the walk of their faith. And then my mind advances to where we're at today and I think, what has changed? What is happening? I know we're living in crazy times. I know COVID has wreaked havoc all over the place, but our God has not changed. The reality of him is not changed. His power water does not cease. He still has a well that doesn't run dry. He still gives invitation to men, women, boys, girls, moms, dads, grandparents, all whosoever will call on the name of the Lord can be saved. There's still a reality in all of that. And I wonder, why is there anger? I wonder, why is there fear? I wonder, why is there trouble that is set in? Why is there bitterness? Why are people leaving the church rather than not being attracted to the church and being drawn in? Why are Christian homes and families' relationships deteriorating at an alarming rate? Why aren't we pushing in more on one another and drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why are these things happening? It concerns me. It ought to concern you as a believer in Jesus Christ. It ought to concern you about your communities and our communities we live in. Our community is kind of the same. We're not, just not that far away. So our community that I'm talking about tonight is you and me together. And why is it that this happened? My teacher would be upset with me because I homiletically don't have all these 3 points and applications tonight. This is where I'm going to close out. This is what I believe has happened. Title of the message is Our Response to His Abilities. He has the ability. If you think that you have a better ability, why don't you try holding the stars in the sky? I even try counting them and can't do it. How amazing He is. And then as a father figure, for me to imagine sending my son to take and to bear what he has bore through his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, for all of mankind. That to me just breaks me down. I can't even begin, maybe begin, but that's it, to understand that deep of love. It's amazing. I want to submit to you tonight that I think the reason why we've had some issues and we continue to have some issues and some cares that we need to be praying for as a church, why we're maybe not as attractive as what we need to be to others that we live around and the influence that we have. We talk about the church. We're talking about a city that's set on a hill. The Bible says it should not be hid. We're talking about, like the song says, the old lighthouse. That's what we're supposed to be. Why, or rather, are we seeing some of these other things? Not that there's not some good things happening, because God's still at work. Praise His holy name. He is still faithful in the midst of our unfaithfulness. God is still at work. And I am so thankful tonight to that. And I don't want to miss part of that tonight, because that is true. But I want to tell you tonight, I think that there's some trash in our wells. David in Psalms 51, in that forgiveness prayer and that song that he had wrote out there, he said, I think it was somewhere down around 10, 12, 11, somewhere in there, one of those verses of 51, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Does not the word also tell us that the joy of the Lord is my strength? David recognizes, we need to recognize so often in our lives, and it's tough preaching. And then it's tough hearing. There's areas in our hearts and our lives we just let trash in. The only way David was recognizing that he had not only committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, but he had murdered her husband Uriah, and he was beginning to confess those things. Because it says in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And David was wanting that restored unto him that he had once had with a relationship with Jesus, with God Almighty. And he was wanting that. And the only way to get that is to get some stuff out of the way. And David was asking God to restore the joy of his salvation, but he was also making a confession of faith and repentance to God. If my people, which are called upon by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, It's not easy for the church to confess things and even to repent, but the church desperately needs to. I believe there's trash got in our wells. I believe that's what happens to our joy. I believe that's sometimes what happens to our lives and to the testimony of our lives. See, there was a little city at the foot of the mountains over in Austria. The story had been given account, and after World War II, I believe it was, this city was unique in that it was sustained by all of the water that ran down off of those mountains. That water that ran down off of those mountains into the bottoms where the city was, and this city has sustained itself by that runoff. It first of all, it came into what was a huge crank wheel, and that crank wheel generated all the power. You know what I'm talking about, Dutch. I'm talking about electricity. That's what I call it. That's what we call it with Dutch. It's power, you know? And it created all the electricity that town needed to operate and all that was going. And after it passed through that big crank wheel, it came into a big pool and a reservoir there. And it would have been so clean and so pure in that you could stand next to it and see your reflection. It was so pure. And that's where they tapped out all the water that was there to drink. That water also did something else, and that they had piped it in channels all the way through their fields, and that it provided irrigation to all their crops and their vegetables that they needed that would sustain them as well. It was a unique setup, but what had changed is it was a new mayor. And the new mayor had big ideas about changing some different things in that little town of Austria that had sustained itself by the runoff from the mountains that came in there. And they began to look at all of the jobs and the job titles and the monies that were passed out and delivered. And they went through all of that trying to refine, trying to make cuts where they needed to make cuts. And they got to one individual, they got to one job title that they didn't know. They'd ask everybody what it was, and they could see that there was a significant amount of money being paid out, and nobody knew. But there was one old gentleman on the council that they knew. If anybody knew what that job was, he'd know, and they asked. He said, we see here that there's a job title named the Keeper of the Springs. Man, we see he gets paid a lot of money. He said, who is he and what does he do? He said, well, I know the guy comes into town about once a year to get his wages, but that's all I see. But he said, I don't know what he does. I just know this. He said, as long as this town has had him on the payroll, as long as we've been paying him, we have always had water coming into our crank to power our little town. We have always had clean and pure water there in the reservoir for us to tap out of and survive. As long as we have had him and paid him, we've always had irrigation to all of our crops and our vegetables. Mayor, different ideas, and he said, the next time he comes into town, I want you to tell him that his job is dismissed. Pay him his last wages. And they did just that. This is the trail of it. This is the trail of it. It didn't happen in days. It wasn't even in months. But after a period of time, two old gentlemen talking together like two old gentlemen do in a little town. They said, hey, we noticed that the big crank, it didn't seem to be going as fast as it used to be. I don't know, maybe it is. I don't think it's going as fast as it used to be. Why? And it wasn't but before their eyes that they were looking in this pool of water and they were drinking off of it, and they noticed that there was some algae beginning to grow there. It caused a damper to all of their flood lines to make irrigation. Why, and the report began to come back, and there were some young children especially that were affected by it, and they were being taken to the doctors, and the doctors had said, in conclusion of the matter, the diagnosis is they're drinking some bad water and it's affecting them. The town noticed the great need, and they called together another meeting. Obviously, whatever this guy was doing, it made effect. They pulled the crowd together, and they had decided that they were going to send some men up to the mountain, and they were going to look them up, and And they were going to do what they needed to do to make reconciliation. And so some of the men had headed up there to the mountain, not even really knowing where he resided or where he was at. But there, hey, this is the ideal of me. There he is, all alone on the mountaintop in this cabin. And I can imagine he's eating some of Debbie Carnahan's minced meat pie all by himself in his glory. But there they find him on his porch. They went up to him. They begged for his mercy. They begged for his forgiveness. We're sorry that we got rid of you. We're sorry that, you know, we had fired you the way we do. And we had done, and we recognize that we've got an issue now. And they described to him what was going on. And they said, will you please come back to work for us? He said, absolutely. He said, I can show you what's wrong. And so he led him over to one of the streams, and there in one of the streams, he pointed out a dead animal. He said, that dead animal needs removed. It's contaminating your water. And he said, I saw the dead animal. And he said, I understood what was going on there. But he said, hey, that's not my property. I didn't have permission to remove the dead animal. So I left it go. He said, there's another problem. He took him over to another stream that had fed the whole town and a sustaining factor. And he said, you see, there after the winter and after the deadfall of all the trees, he said, there's kind of a blockade going on there. And it affected the flow of your water. And he said, I saw the dead branches and the pile up of leaves there. And I seen it in the stream. And he said, I wanted to remove it. He said, that's not my property. And I wasn't given permission. They said, we want to hire you back. And so they hired the keeper of the springs back. You understand where I'm going tonight with this here? We've got a well. Sometimes, if we're real tonight, it gets trashy. Sometimes we let some things trash up the well, and it brings contamination, and it brings blockade, and the power don't flow like maybe one time did, and it don't feel like it good like it one time did. It's not all about feelings, but you know when you're right with God, and you know when you're not right with God, and there's something about when the well is opened up. And I want to tell you what, there's a keeper of the springs tonight. He's named the Holy Ghost. He's named the Holy Spirit of God. He's the third part of the Trinity. He's very alive and well. You can't see him tonight, but take my word. Take the word of God for it tonight. He is very real and very present in this sanctuary tonight, in your vessels tonight, in your hearts tonight. He is by title the keeper of the springs. He controls the well. He controls the everlasting of the well. And I want to tell you tonight, by the perfect gentleman that he is, he said, you are tonight, you have to give me permission. That's not my property. I'm not going to invade it unless you give me permission. But church tonight, what we need to do is let God, the keeper of the springs, invade our wells and clean us up. Get things where they need to be. Well, what happens? Maybe not in a day. Maybe not in a week. But it's coming. It will affect us. I want to respond to his ability tonight with every fiber of my body, soul, and spirit. I don't want one thing being reserved in me tonight that says he don't have the ability in this area of my life. He don't have the ability in that area of my life. He don't have this ability in our church. I want tonight to respond in all of my heart by saying he has the ability. And I want to let him have the ability in and through my heart and my life. I already messed this up. I had this so planned out. I was going to ask my wife to come to the piano. I was going to tail this service off. Then I messed it up. Bree, will you come to the piano? I wonder tonight if we'll respond to his ability. I don't know where you're at tonight, church. Really, in reality, you don't know where I'm at tonight. But I know this here. He has an ability. In our hearts, in our lives, our families, our relationships. Listen, all areas of our life this plugs into. What I'm saying tonight, I believe with all of my heart that sometimes the reason we don't have revival is because there's trash in the well. I think sometimes the reason why there's, can I just say it as politely as I can, some disharmony in our relationships. Husbands and wives, moms and dads. It's because there's trash gets in our well. I believe sometimes the reason why we're not easier to surrender in prayer and not give up in prayer and not be moved away from prayer. I believe the reason why sometimes the Word of God is such a burden for us to pick up and to study it out and to see it attractive and needful in our lives is because, hey, we live in a trashy world. And it gets in our wells. And it affects things. Will you stand with me in prayer? Father, tonight, every heart, every life, every need. God, tonight, we want to be real with you and honest tonight in this service. Will you give us help tonight? Maybe there's some here tonight that need to come to this altar and pray. Maybe there's some tonight in their pews or wherever they're at tonight want to just commit some things to you and have a talk with you. Lord, I pray that tonight the keeper of the springs, Lord, is here, St. Thomas. I pray that his name is called out. That God, that you would help us, each and every one of us. Oh, Lord, we'll never be effective the way we need to be. We'll never be the testimony that you call us to be. We'll never experience and have and continue to remain in the joy of our salvation when there's trash in our wells. And Lord, it's almost like the inevitable in this world that we live in. And so I pray, God, that you would help us tonight. I pray, God, that you would minister to us. Oh, Lord, sometimes the limbs and the leaves that fall in and they affect the flow and the stream and the current. It look like so many different things in our lives. It could be fear that has been mounting. It could be anxiety that is mounting. It up. It could be depression that is there. There's so many things that bring blockades to your flow and your free flowing and that power that we receive and confidence in Jesus Christ. And oh God, how many things have died? How many things have died in the stream? How many things are of yesterday that need to be placed beneath the blood? How many things ought to have been let go and forgotten about? How many things ought to have been taken to the cross and left there where burdens are lifted at Calvary? I wonder how many have died in our lives and they need beneath the blood. They need gotten out of that stream in such a way that God, the pureness of the Holy Ghost, the pureness of your sweet love and divine communion that we have with you flows again. Lord, I wonder how many this evening hour have never called on you. I wonder how many lives tonight have been tapping in to this world's well and all that it has to offer. God, maybe in a temporary satisfaction it is met, and maybe they think that they're banking on it ever carrying them through. But I'm telling each and every one under the sound of my voice and the help of the Holy Spirit, there's going to come a time in our lives, there will come a time in our hearts, in our ways, that if we're tapping in to what this world's well is, it will let you broken, it will let you destroyed, it will let you disheartened. And God has a way that is better. It is everlasting. God, will you help that soul, that heart, to turn to you tonight in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord, tonight. In your name we pray. Brother Roger.